Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades, getting their customers the best coverage in auto, home, life, business, and the best price. There's ever a claim, boy, do they go to work. They're just great people. I don't care what it's Adam Purdy, Steve Engel, or anybody in that office. Awesome people who do great work, and they do it on your behalf. The customer means everything. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And our thanks to the Daily Item for recognizing Purdy Insurance for the great, great work they've done and continue to do. And we are in the Sunbury Motors Studios, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Patrick Mahomes came back yesterday for Kansas City and played really well. He threw over 400 yards, but the Kansas City defense at the end could not contain Ryan Tannehill.
Tannehill looking, firing over the middle, caught. Humphreys 5, Humphreys end zone, touchdown Titans! Touchdown Titans! Adam Humphreys, 23 yards, and the Titans lead 33-32 with 23 ticks remaining.
And Tennessee won it yesterday on a day where the Falcons blew out the Saints. It was also a day where Kansas City lost. The week before, the Ravens blew out the Patriots. It seems like everybody's been going through this in the NFL. And boy, do I watch some of the quarterback play. I really had a chance to sit down and watch some of it yesterday. Yeah, this league is suffering for quarterbacks. Oh. I mean, Jared Goff, please. Right? Mason Rudolph, please. Baker Mayfield, I know a lot of people are on his bandwagon, please. Oh, yeah. Boy, a lot of mediocrity behind center.
Yeah, I think when you stack up the top eight, and then it just spirals way down from there.
Oh, I mean, it's might as well walk over to the cliff. All right, let's bring in Donnie Collins, Scranton Times Tribune, to talk about Penn State, Minnesota from Saturday. Donnie, welcome back. It's really great to have you with us.
Same here, Steve.
Yeah. All right, Donnie, what were your impressions watching that play out on Saturday?
Minnesota played close to a perfect game, and Penn State played the way it has all season. It's been dynamic for a little while and makes critical mistakes when it could possibly hurt you. And you know, it's some of the same mistakes they made against Pitt and Iowa and you know even Purdue to a certain extent and Michigan, and they were able to overcome them. But when you got a team playing lights out on the other side of the field, and I think Minnesota did. Let's be honest about this. They played as good a game as they possibly could have for two and a half, three quarters, and Penn State just simply couldn't overcome it. But they had chances to at the end, and I think there's some positives to take out of all that. I don't think this is a season ruiner. I think my math isn't always great, but I think if they went out, still going where they want to go. But you know, it's one of those deals where I think it's a good wake up call for them. You can't play sloppy and win every week. Sometimes you can, and these guys got away with it a little more often than maybe they should have. But they played sloppy this time, and Minnesota played out of its mind, and it just wasn't enough.
I know we have to do a segment in the pregame keys of the game, and I had four: play with the lead, didn't do that.
Never had it.
Giveaway takeaways. They have won every game.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and they were minus two, and then there was 14-7 on points off of turnovers. Then field position, which they did win, and explosive plays, which they did win. But they need to. They can't win two out of four, Donnie.
No. I mean, if you want to look at the stats, and I'll give you some stats out of that game. That if I told you on Friday this is rock solid going to happen, Penn State outrushed Minnesota. Penn State had a better time of possession. You would have thought they'd won by 30.
Yes.
But the turnovers are killers. And I think my issue with the turnovers, I mean, the last interception, he's trying to make a play, trying to throw the ball in the end zone.
Yeah, except Don, he's trying to throw the ball to Dotson, he got grabbed.
Dotson.
Yeah, he's actually trying to throw the ball to Dotson. He wasn't trying to throw in the end zone.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It's a bad throw. If he's trying to throw it to Dotson, I don't think even if Dotson is not interfered with, and he certainly was, I don't think it's going to be a complete pass.
Right.
But I get what he's doing there. He's trying to make a play on a third and long, and the first one is basically a punt. The second one can't happen, and basically he dared Antoine Winfield, who's maybe the best defensive back in the in the Big Ten.
Yes,
he dared him to pick off two passes, and he did. And the second one changed the game. I mean, it's 14-10 at that point. They're going in for points. If they get seven, they take the lead, which I agree with you. You have to have the lead in that game. You could put a lot of pressure on Minnesota once you get the lead, especially early in the game. But it's you know, they scored three plays after that. So that's a 10-point swing at best for Penn State. And you know, that's the one that can't happen. And I know Hamler got interfered with on that one too, but.
Right.
You know, if Hamler doesn't get interfered with, I still think Winfield comes down with the ball.
Right. I want to ask you about the 2-point conversion because obviously it was brought up in the post game. And I'll preface this, Donnie, by saying when the 2-point conversion came up, my thought was, I was looking at the math saying, okay, it gets it within three, a touchdown would put him in front, tie it with a field goal. I looked at it, I thought, okay, it makes sense to me. Now, it may not have made sense to anybody else. What did you think?
I thought it was the absolute right call at the time. I said it. I said I would go for two here. Because, number one, you don't know how many possessions you're getting.
That was my point. Nobody in football, hardly anybody. I was talking to Dick Girardi about this today. And I said, you and I talk about possessions in a game all the time. It's never talked about in football. You never hear people talk about how many possessions are left in the game. You never hear anybody talk about it.
You don't, and for good reason, because there's always usually limitless possessions, the way, you know, teams spread the ball around and, you know, everyone's getting to the line before the snap, but surveying what they got, you could pretty much milk as much clock as you want or not milk any. But Minnesota milks the clock, and the way they've run the ball, they have a good running game, they have a major league offensive line, and you don't know if you're getting two more possessions, so you want to be down one. Because if you only get two more possessions in that game, you want to be able to score on one of them and have a chance to tie. And I couldn't believe how many people I saw after the game complaining about the 2-point conversion, because I get it. You go and do the math. They had a chance on the Journey Brown touchdown to tie it with a 2-point conversion if they kick the extra point there, and then on the subsequent drive when they turned it over on downs inside the 10, if they had just been able to kick the field goal. And I get that,
but you can't play that way. But that's post-mortem, okay?
Yeah.
That's after you know what the results of the game happen to be. I mean, that's a ridiculous way to look at it.
Yeah, I agree, because in the moment, I turned to Rich Scarcella, he was sitting next to me, and we both agreed, you can't assume you're getting free possession.
That's right.
So it doesn't make any sense to not go for. If he went for one, I would have argued it, and I would have asked him after the game, why'd you go for one there? Now here's the other thing that people ignore: the 2-point conversion should have worked.
Yes, it should have actually. Yeah,
it should have counted for two anyway. And then if he hits it, bad decision or not, nobody cares because it worked. So yeah, I think it's just frustration. I think it's people not, you know, people wanting to look for something that the coaching staff did wrong. Yeah, I think there's certainly some debate about some of the play calling, especially inside the five, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I look at it this way. Every game, and I have to remind myself of this too, when you're covering a game, every game there's going to be some questionable non-calls. Every game there's going to be some questionable calls that were made. And every game there's going to be two or three decisions that offensive coordinators and defensive coordinators are going to want back.
Right.
And I think that's what happened on a lot of those. But the 2-point conversion, this one I would really defend if I'm James. Because I think it was absolutely the right decision.
Yeah, and see, I take myself, Donnie, to back in the moment. And again, when I'm sitting there in the broadcast booth in the moment, Jack was analyzing the Bowers touchdown. And I'm thinking to myself, they just got a takeaway to get this.
right? Mm-hmm. So I'm looking at him thinking, okay, they get two here, that gets them to within three. Now you can tie it with a field goal. Boom. Or if you get a stop and a touchdown, now you're up four and make them score a touchdown. And mm-hmm. I kept thinking to myself, how many possessions are left in this game? Two? Three? Because they had already gone on a long drive that didn't score Minnesota. They yanked about, what, six, 7 minutes off the clock? 6 minutes off the clock.
Exactly. They were taking 4 minutes off the clock and just picking up the first down. That's why they had that drive in the fourth quarter. If you look at the fourth quarter stats, I'm sure you've seen it. I mean, I think it was 159 yards to 11 in the fourth quarter.
Right.
But time of possession was kind of close.
Right.
Because Minnesota was able to get a first down in a drive where they weren't really even attempting to score. And that's their game. And James said it during the week. You know, if they get the lead early, they're going to start milking the clock early. And that nobody really in the country does that, and they try to do it. And it was clear that's what they were trying to do. And I just don't think you could sit there. I mean, as a fan, I get it. You're sitting there debating it beforehand, and then the decision's made, and then you're debating it afterwards.
Right.
Well, Ricky Ronnie doesn't have that luxury. He's going to debate the call in his head for 15 seconds, get the play in, probably less than 15 seconds, get the play in, and then whatever happens, it was right or wrong.
Right. And then in terms of game management, Minnesota, 5:26 to go in the game, they're going to punt. Mm-hmm. You know they're going to run all 40 seconds off that clock. And James used a timeout there, and I think he gave his team a chance to win because he used it in that spot.
He did, he absolutely had to use it, and he did give himself a chance. And, you know, they had a big play where, I mean, Dotson, if he doesn't fall, which happens, I mean, I was on the field, but you probably agree. That turf is not, it's not the bushy AstroTurf.
No, it's not. It's older. It's older.
Yes. It's like the old turf at the vet. So, I mean, I see where that happens, especially, you know, as you get later in the day, it gets a little colder. I see how that happens. But if he doesn't fall, he might win.
Right.
And it doesn't mean they played a better game than Minnesota. It means they just had more talent and eventually won it out. But I mean, it's a game of inches, and I know fans don't want to hear that.
Right.
But that's what happened there. I mean, James gave them a chance to win with the timeout. They managed the game well enough. I thought there were some really great play calls by Ronnie. I thought Brent, you know, he was able to figure out what was going on defense, what they had to do on defense at halftime, and they were able to make some changes there. But, you know, like I said, you make enough mistakes, it doesn't matter. You can't overcome everything.
Right. Exactly. I mean, you can't overcome every single one of them. And Minnesota, with credit, did a really good job. So now they've got Indiana. It'll be the third consecutive game that Penn State has played against a team with a bye week. And Indiana comes in at 7-2. Ramsey will be the quarterback, but I don't think there's any doubt, Donnie. Indiana's played very well this season.
Yeah, they're another team. They're kind of like Minnesota, where they've taken care of the ball. They've got some explosive players at receiver. They have a bulldog at running back. Scott's a good player. They had some success last year against Penn State before they adjusted. So I mean, this is a game I thought. If you asked me this last week, I'd have said I was a little more concerned for Penn State against Indiana than I was even against Minnesota, because Indiana's sneaky good. But now they're playing with the backup quarterback. Penn State's desperate, which I think might help Penn State.
Right.
And I here's something I thought a lot about on the flight home yesterday. I think it helps Penn State to have a couple of tough games, and I don't necessarily think it helps Ohio State to have Rutgers and Maryland.
Right.
So I think this is going to be good for Penn State if they show up to play, and I think they should. It's the first home game in forever. I can't remember Michigan.
28 days.
Yeah. So I think they have no excuse to come out and play poorly. They have to put together a complete game here, and no one's going to play a perfect game.
Right.
Minnesota almost did, but I think they have to come out and play a complete game.
Donnie, thanks so much. Really appreciate your time.
Oh, no problem, Steve. Anytime.
Donnie Collins, Scranton Times Tribune, back with more in a moment. Dave Cecchini, Final Half Hour, brought to you by Purdy Insurance on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you. Welcome back. Great to have you with us on the show today. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. There's no question that, you know, as that your play call is not going to be perfect. Your play calling is not going to be, there's going to be some that any offensive coordinator wants back. Not all, but there's going to be something like, ah, I shouldn't have called that. You know, that happens. A defensive coordinator, oh, I shouldn't have dialed it up at that point. You know, whatever. That happens. Penn State has been terrific defensively all season. And in the first half, Minnesota did with, by the way, just terrific high-level receivers. Bateman and Johnson are both NFL guys. And I, how many times, Sean, did I say that last week? Me and... felt like a broken record saying, look at these receivers. Bateman and Johnson are really, really good. The guy that was the wild card to me was Morgan. I did not realize. I saw the Purdue tape, but that was an outlier. Yeah, he only been 55% his last four games. You know, I did not expect him to be 18 and 20, but he did a great job, and they exploited a couple things. They played it well. But... despite that, and then you look at the red zone. Penn State had been phenomenal in the red zone this year. Phenomenal. They had one missed field goal and one time where they ran a running play on the last play of the game from the 17-yard line instead of taking a knee. Those are the red zone failures this year until you get to this game. And in this game, they had the two trips into the red zone. You will have some people say, and I understand in post-game math, about going for one versus two. See, you could have kicked the field goal here. See, you're going to score a touchdown here. See, post-mortem, you can do anything like that. My point on the two-point conversion has been simple. There was 4 minutes going in the third quarter. They're down five. And when he kept the offense out there and Jack's analyzing the game, I looked over and I looked at the board and I thought, man, see, two gets you to the 21. Now you're down three. A field goal can tie it. If you get a touchdown, now you're up four, which means they have to go for a touchdown. And to me, it made sense. The math made sense because you don't know against a team that is trying to and is capable of bleeding the clock. You don't know how many possessions you have left in this game. You don't know. Post-mortem, you know exactly how many possessions there happen to be. But in the moment, you don't know if you're only going to get the ball back two more times? One? You don't know. So that's why in the moment it made sense to me. James then called that timeout with 5:26 to go because, again, the same thing. Minnesota's going to punt. James knows that PJ will bleed 40 seconds off the clock. Penn State had a chance at the end in part because of the 40 seconds he saved there by calling that timeout. It's all part of game management. So let's get to the penalties. I will be... As I always am with you, honest and direct about this. When the penalty was called on Daniel George, you know, I saw Journey Brown get to the 2-yard line, and then there's the penalty. They call it, and Jack looked at the replay, and Jack was adamant that, in his opinion, it was a ticky-tack call and not necessary. It had nothing to do with the success of the play, right? I was looking at personnel on the field
to see what they were going to do personnel-wise in terms of a new offensive package as Jack was analyzing. So I, to this point, have not seen the penalty. I know at some point tonight I'll sit down, I'll take a look at the tape, but I haven't seen the penalty. So I can't comment based on what I saw because I haven't seen it yet. Which, you know, you're saying, well, how could you not see it? How could you not go home and look at it? Well, you know, I've got a basketball game on Thursday with Georgetown I had to get ready for. I'm getting ready for Indiana. I've got a little more time. Tonight, I'll take a look at it tonight. Which then brings me to the interception. I was talking about the Dotson play. I don't know what happened on the George play, but I do know what happened on the Dotson play at the end. Dotson's going over the middle, and I know he's the prime receiver on the play. Well, it ends up going through and eventually gets picked off at the goal line because Dotson got grabbed going over the middle. I'm sorry, that's in the open field. That's in the sight of everybody. I saw it as the play was happening. Like, I just, you know, I didn't want to get too much into that. Their jobs are tough enough, and Penn State still almost won the game. Now they have to go back to work, and they've got to get ready for Indiana.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC Way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC Way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC Way. The SMC Way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. The Purdy's have served this valley for decades, finding their clients the best insurance so they're covered. I don't care if it's auto, home, life, business, a bundle. And they're also trying to make sure they get you, their customer, the best price. And if there are any adjustments, they'll make the adjustment. And if there's a claim, they go to work as if it happened to them, because customer service means everything to these really good people, these really good professionals. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We are in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Dave Cicchini in a few moments. After their win over Lehigh, they've got Georgetown next. So, Penn State basketball at Georgetown, and Bucknell football plays Georgetown. That's next for everybody. By the way, the Penn State Coaches Show is actually tomorrow night from 6.05 to 7 because the basketball game will be on at 6 o'clock, 6.30, start 6 o'clock the airtime on Thursday. Can't air two things at once. So the talk show had to move. So it's moving to tomorrow night. And it is Military Appreciation Week here. It was a big weekend of military appreciation over the weekend. And for football, their participation in it, which is always a big celebration and very impressive, will be Saturday. Bucknell won, and you want to talk about the defense getting the job done. They gave up only 209 yards, minus six rushing.
Lehigh was 2 of 14 on third down, 0 of 1 on fourth. Only had the ball about 28 minutes. Logan Bitticoffer did a good job. He completed 23 passes for 190 yards. And the Bucknell front, 7 sacks for 52 yards and losses. That's where that minus 6 comes from. And Rick Montrum is now another double-digit tackle day. Second straight game he's done that. He had 10. So we'll talk to Dave Cicchini about that in a few moments. Anyway, I guess Dave has to call into us, right?
Yeah, he's actually calling on my cell phone right now, but we'll get him on our main line here in a sec.
No, that's fine. Well, you two are tight. I mean, really. I mean, he's probably on the phone right now begging you to do the play.
Let the color analyst know about that.
Well, no. I mean, I think my understanding, he's calling you to beg you to do the play-by-play on Saturday. Yeah. You and Matty Ice. Because Doug has basketball. Did I cut anybody out? No? But they have Georgetown at 1 on Saturday at Christie. And you'll hear it on Eagle 107. That was a good win for Bucknell on Saturday. We'll talk to Dave about that in just a few moments. I mean, Stephon Moore Green caught a touchdown. Yeah. John McGuire. Two field goals by Tyler Kieser. Senior walk-on. Pretty good. Pretty good. And joining us is the head football coach at Bucknell, Dave Cicchini. Dave, welcome. It's great to have you back.
Thanks. Great to be here.
209 yards total given up by your defense with the sack numbers minus 6 rushing. Did you feel like as the day went you just owned that line of scrimmage?
Yeah, I tell you what, it was probably the most impressive physical performance I've seen by a defense in a long, long time. We were very aggressive with our blitzes. We brought a lot of different pressures from a lot of different directions. Took away their run game fairly early on. Didn't give them any confidence in that, and really they became one-sided. We had enough of a lead. And as the second half approached, it became apparent they were going to have to throw the ball to try to get back in the game. And our guys just really pinned their ears back and came. And we had 7 sacks, and we probably had at least 7 other plays where the quarterback was hit immediately as he was throwing the football. It was a very physical football game overall, but we wound up Lehigh went through their first quarterback went out with an injury, and then their second-team quarterback went out with an injury because they're being hit so often every time they drop back to pass. So it was pretty impressive.
In on the Penn State-Minnesota broadcast Saturday, Jack Ham and I have to give our respective keys to the game, and my number one key to the game going in, I said, was you need against Minnesota to play with the lead. And that never happened. Minnesota led all the way through. So now let's flip that to your team. What did it mean to your team that you played that entire game with the lead?
Oh, it was huge. You know, early on, I mean, the first quarter was scoreless, but as that quarter ended, what it revealed was that they were struggling moving the football, and when it came to a field position game, it was very evident that as long as we did not turn the football over on offense, with Alex Peach and our All-American punter, we were continually able to pin them down inside their own 20 or a couple times down inside their own 5-yard line. And they would take the field with, you know, in one case, 99 yards to go. And with the way that our defense was playing and that level of confidence,
even though the score at the end of the first quarter was 0-0, it would be us finishing a drive on their 45-yard line, punting it down to the 5-yard line, and then they would get maybe one first down and punt it back to us, and we'd get the ball at midfield. So you could see even early on that this game was very much in our control once our offense started to click, and it did, and we were able to jump up and never lost the lead.
Second straight game that Rick Montrum has had double digits in tackles. We talked about him the last time you were on. Dave, what kind of job are the linemen doing up front to set him up?
You know, they're doing a very good job, particularly our defensive tackles and nose guards, in terms of just quick movements, angling, you know, eating up two offensive linemen to set him free in the run game. And then in the pass game, with the blitzes that we were bringing, again, we're so unpredictable. We have Simeon Page, who is one of the top leaders in the nation with tackles for losses. He's a guy that just grabs the attention of most offensive coordinators when they're looking at guys blitzing. They say, hey, that is, you know, the primary weapon that Bucknell is going to use to try to get to the quarterback, and then that frees Rick up on a lot of his blitzes. So, you know, he is able to benefit. He's a great player, but he's certainly a byproduct of, you know, a great defensive tackle and a nose guard and a great other inside linebacker in the pass game, attracting a lot of attention.
Is the game slowing down for Logan Bitticoffer?
It is. He made a couple of poor decisions early on. In fact, one of Lehigh's first field goal resulted in a poor decision on him. His one interception that was returned. That was really the only time in the first half that they had the ball past midfield. But really, the best thing to see was after that play. So we were up 10-0, and that got him got Lehigh on the board at 10-3. He did not panic. He learned from the mistake. He shrugged it off. He kept his poise, kept his confidence. When the pocket broke down around him, he made very smart decisions. He threw a couple balls away. He stepped up and made some great throws under duress, and he also pulled the ball down and scrambled for some big first downs. So I really think that in that game, he did start slow in that first quarter, but as the game went along, I think his confidence grew, and he played better and better as the game went on.
You talk about how his confidence grew. Is it a hope on your part that this win and how you went about it instills more confidence in your team?
Absolutely. Just the physically dominating manner in which we were able to do it, the energy that the defense was giving off, I think really kept the entire football team going, the offense, the special teams, helped just that level of confidence that you know, we'd had double-digit leads against Lafayette and lost the football game. We had double-digit lead against Holy Cross and lost the football game. We had a double-digit lead against Lehigh, and we played 60 minutes of football, and there was really no doubt in this one. Even though the final score was 20-10, it really was one of those games that just was, you know, really not in doubt most of that second half. And I really do. I hope we can build off of it. We need some help, but believe it or not, we're still in the championship race here. We've got to take care of business at home against Georgetown and then on the road for the final week of the season against Fordham. But we can finish at 4-2 with a league record if we are able to get wins against both teams. And that gives us a chance, not a great chance, but this is a crazy conference this year. Anybody can beat anybody. So there's already, you know, we don't have a single team that has a perfect conference record. Everybody has at least one loss. So it's a possibility.
I know with everything in your background at Lehigh, you're Bucknell's coach, so the win's gratifying no matter what. Anything different or special because it was Lehigh, or was it another day at the Bucknell office for Dave Jacchini?
Well, no, I mean, it was definitely special, you know, not only just because it's your alma mater that you're going at, a place that you had a really positive experience both as a player and for many years as a coach. But to me, what really made it special was we were going against, there was such familiarity with the coaching staff, with the athletic administration, and people that I'm still good friends with and close to. And so that is really what made it special. You're going up against, you know, Tom Gilmore, Lehigh's head coach. He and I, he was the defensive coordinator when I was the offensive coordinator. We coached together for many years and had a tight relationship. And so there's a lot of people there. And so it made it a lot of fun and that much special to go out and get the win against them.
Does your wide receiver group have any inkling at all at some of the records you set at Lehigh? Do they have any inkling at all? Are they just like, oh, yeah, there's the old guy coaching us?
Well, I don't know if they probably look at me, being as old as I am right now, and go, man, I coach, I can't picture you at all. You know, I haven't had the heart to tell them, and I'm banning all video footage of me, but I'm so old that when I was at Lehigh, we actually lined the wide receivers up in three-point stances. So,
really?
So I'll try to burn all the videotape that I can find.
Oh.
If word gets out on that one, I don't think I'm going to be able to live it down.
Yeah, you have to explain the word flanker to them. What's a flanker?
Yes.
For those who don't know, Dave was a first-team All-American, right? He set Patriot League receiving records. So to your team, anybody listening right now, you don't get who you're dealing with. Okay, so my next game is not Indiana. It's actually basketball at Georgetown. You've got the Georgetown football team coming to you. So here is another opportunity for your football team. What will be important for you on Saturday at home at 1?
Well, it's going to be a very similar setup to Lehigh. You have a team coming in that plays very good defense, which Lehigh did. You have an offense that's struggling a little bit. Both Georgetown and us right now are still, you know, pretty banged up at the end of the year. Each of us are going to have some starters that are going to be out that I'm certain of. So it's going to come down to the toughness. It's going to come down to second-team guys getting their opportunity to shine and under the lights, and hopefully our guys will continue to step up and build off of the confidence. The recipe for success, it's there. It's what we were able to do against Lehigh. We've got to go out and duplicate it. And the biggest challenge for us is to not have a letdown. We had such great energy.
Right.
That existed for 60 minutes. And again, part of that was, you know, this is our rivalry game. You know, when you go to play Lehigh, everybody's up for it. You know, we didn't have a single player on our team who had beaten Lehigh, so there was a tremendous energy and a vibe that was out there. It existed in the week of practice and extended in through the entire game. And we're going to have to keep riding that wave. We can't fall back and let ourselves come down to earth, because we got to keep that sustained level. We got to be able to do it when we go out tomorrow and practice all the way through the final gun on Saturday. And if we do that, again, it's going to be they're a solid football team. It's going to be a challenge. We're going to have to play at our best. But if we do so, you know, we should be able to achieve the same result.
Just found you on YouTube. No, I'm just kidding. Dave, thanks so much. Congratulations on a great win, but best of luck coming up this Saturday.
All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Dave Cicchini, head football coach at Bucknell. We'll wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. So is Matty Ice doing the game on Saturday as the analyst?
Matt will be the PA announcer at Christie, and the analyst is going to be former Lewisburg Green Dragons star and now Bucknell alum Drew Newcomb. Drew will be on Color with Kevin on Saturday, so it'll be a terrific.
Have Drew text me. I got to explain to him about lifting some weights and making sure his shoulders are broad enough to handle the situation. I mean, he's walking in right away. It's like going into the seventh game of the World Series, and they're expecting you to save it. All right, so.
And Drew will also be paired up with Kevin for the final game in the Bronx a week from Saturday, the Fordham game, too.
In the Bronx?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh.
Kevin in the big city.
Yeah.
It's incredible. Hmm. Wonder if the mayor knows. All right.
So, by the way, the final football game, the Bucknell at Fordham football game on the 23rd, the football game will be on 100.9 The Valley at the same time. Right. Bucknell basketball will be up at Syracuse. That will be on Eagle 107.
Right. So, yeah, and News Radio 1070 WKOK, there's a football game that day.
Yes. That would be, now
first
we're
things first.
Looking ahead, you know.
Indiana first.
Yes.
Look, are there play calls Brent Pry would like to have back? Yes. Are there play calls that Ricky Ronnie would like to have back? Yes. But are there certain throws, for example, Sean Clifford would like to have back? Yeah, of course. Defensive players, same thing. Everybody feels that way when you go through this and you, despite everything, just miss. Despite everything. Despite everything in that game, Penn State still almost won the thing.
I now, think al- this is almo- even going to make...
Almost means you lost.
I think right? this is even going to make Sean Clifford even more driven and even more laser focused and more motivated to go, you know, to go through the final three with victories. I mean, I remember back, you know, go back to Trace McSorley's first loss as an Nittany Lion. I mean, that's the last thing you want to deal with ever again is to lose a game.
No, you don't want to do that.
No.
But I think it's been some of the elements that come up. Like, for example, you take the end of the first half, they drive down, they didn't, again, they had been so good in the red zone this year, and for whatever reason, I mean, they drove down at the end, they had a shot at the touchdown at the end. They couldn't dial up or couldn't execute that one last play in the red zone, because they moved the ball up and down the field. They only punted twice in the game. Penn State had 11 possessions, they punted twice. They gained, 500 and how many yards? 560 yards? Some number like that. Some crazy number. But they were playing from behind all day. Doesn't help. I've talked about that. The giveaway takeaway part is the biggest stat in the entire game. It's the biggest stat in that entire game. Okay. Three takeaways, Minnesota, including the one at the end. Penn State got one. Penn State converted its takeaway into six. Minnesota turned around and took two of their takeaways and turned them into 14 points in a game that Penn State lost by five. That giveaway-takeaway part is huge in a game like that. And those are momentum plays. Antoine Winfield, I'll say this. The three players I singled out last week were Rashad Bateman, Tyler Johnson, and Antoine Winfield. I will say this, after sitting there for 3.5 hours and watching them play right in front of me, all three are as good as I thought they were. They are really, really good players. Boy, does Winfield see the field. Oh. But Pat Freiermuth had a big game. Hamler had a big game. Journey Brown had a big game. It was so frustrating. So frustrating. But it's too simple to blame coaching. It's too simple to blame play calling. There's just a lot of things that didn't go right, and they still almost won it.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.